join your host, Des Hamilton, to find out exactly how to say goodbye to being poor and hello to being rich.
Welcome back to the Goodbye Poor, Hello Rich show. I'm your man, Des Hamilton. I'm back here, yes, full time. This is the second week since I left my job that I've been here as an unemployed hobo. No, no, I'm going full time on this, as you know. I'm now, well, what do I define myself as? Do I define myself as an entrepreneur? Is that something I'm comfortable with? Do I define, when someone says to you and walks you up in the street and says, right, what are you? What do you do for a living? For the last 40 odd years, actually, no, I was a school kid, for God's sake. For the last 25 years, there was an easy one word answer. Copper, cabin crew, two words. I had a defined role in everything that I've always done until now. What do you do, mate? It's more of a 30-second spiel. I turned £200 into £100,000, and now I'm trying to show people what's achievable in e-commerce, even though you've got no experience in it. They'd have walked off by then, and I don't blame them. What do I do? I'm a TikToker. No, I'm an influencer. God, no. I need to figure this out. But it's a bigger picture. It's a bigger question. How do you define yourself when you haven't got a defined role? And I think I need to work on myself on this, because when I talk about what's going next, how am I going to scale up? What am I going to do to overcome this plateau? Now I've hit my 100,000. What do I do to grow? I've got fingers in pies. I've got things that are coming out that I'll talk to you soon about that will inevitably grow. But specifically me, my brand, the Goodbye Poor Hello Rich brand. How do I grow that? It all comes down to stripping it right back down to its bones. Who are you, mate? What do you do? How do you define yourself? Because unless you figure out who you are, who you show up as, what you do day to day, that's going to define what your plans are going forward, right? What I do know is that I've made myself six income streams. I do Amazon FBA, but I already trained that out. I do affiliate marketing. I've got brand deals and exclusivity. I've got a YouTube channel. I've got digital products and digital services. All five of those six are built off the back of growing a social media channel. Now, I don't want to do a let's grow a social media channel, because they are everywhere. And there's nothing I can tell you that isn't told better somewhere else. But what I can do is show you better how to present yourself, how to define yourself, how to actually manage conversations. You walk into a room, you want to be in charge of this conversation. You want to position yourself as the authority. You want to hold some gravitas regardless of your status. Look, in less than 2 years, I have got connections with some very, very, very big hitters in the industry. All through this networking, this engagement style, this ability to manage conversations. And I think that is where I can really offer value. So watch this space, because that's what I'm going to train out. One of the things that I do want to talk about, and I have spoken about fairly recently, is this podcast. Why people aren't doing podcasts is beyond me. It's the simplest thing to do. And I think this is the problem. Everyone thinks it's more complicated than it actually is. It is no exaggeration when I tell you I started with a phone and a clip-on microphone. That was it. And you know you've got your story to tell. Why is it so many people are so keen to write newsletters, but they're not willing to actually present a podcast? Is it because we're in this generation now where written language is so much easier than spoken language? Kids these days don't know how to talk to people. Is that a thing? Is this newsletter now a thing? Because you can have an AI write a newsletter and pump it out, and that's your weekly box ticked. However, a podcast means you've got to engage. You've got to communicate. You've got to present yourself. You've got to speak publicly, whether that's on audio or in visual form. Is that what's holding people back? Or is it a fact that they think it's more technical than it actually is, when I can categorically tell you it isn't? So welcome to the podcast show. This week is going to be an exclusive podcast special. We're bringing in Ash Morris. Ash runs his own podcast. It's the Podcast for Podcasters. Anyone that runs a podcast should be listening to Ash's podcast. How many times can I say podcast in one sentence? because that will enable you to make yours better. They run a program through Rob Moore, through the Disruptors production company, where they can bring you in, help you grow your podcast, help you monetize it, whether that's indirectly by promoting yourself on there. It's a really interesting conversation. And hopefully what we want to do in this chat is enable you to see what is achievable again in this space. Now, I had a conversation this week and someone said to me, well, you need to be careful, don't you? Because if you're creating more and more podcasters, aren't you therefore creating more competition in the podcasting space? It's a valid point, but that's kind of my spiel, right? I want to show you what's achievable. And if it makes more of you come into this space, bring it on. I don't treat you as competition. I believe there's room for all of us. I believe my voice is unique and I believe that you and your voice is unique. So why not listen to both of us? See what I'm saying? Now, I want this show to empower you to think maybe I could do something like this. Most important thing, surprise, surprise, they're the same elements. Whether you sell on Amazon, whether you sell on TikTok, whether you do affiliate marketing, whether you do dropshipping, whether you do any form of side hustle, e-commerce, second business whatsoever, the three things remain. Take bleeding action. Get bleeding resilient. Stay bleeding determined. Those three things are consistent regardless of whatever you do ever. I don't care whether you're building a wall. I don't care whether you're creating a podcast. I don't care if you're on top of the shard cleaning windows. It's the same deal. Action, resilience, determination. Now, with that in mind, let's get into the interview with Ash. He's a great guy, lots of really valuable insight, and I'll see you on the other end. Ash, first of all, mate, welcome to the show. Really good to have you on. You are the first one that's a bit out of the norm of typical e-commerce retail, and this is what we've been aiming to do for ages, mate. Stretch out. So really good.
Yeah, to glad to be here, Des. Thanks for the invite.
No, mate, my pleasure. My pleasure. Right. Talk us through then how you decided, you know what, podcasting is for me. I think I'm going to make a career of this.
Entirely by accident.
That's the best way.
Exactly. Right? So it was 2-3 years ago now. Through connections from previous jobs, I had a close friend of mine who was brought in to run this podcast agency. So it's Progressive Media. It was co-founded by Rob Moore, who's a big entrepreneur here in the UK. And then a friend of mine came, was brought in to actually start running it about 3-4 years ago now. And Rob didn't want to run it anymore. So he did. He took over. It grew really quickly. So he needed support. And then I came in, 2-3 years ago, just kind of through knowing Kane, through being a friend of his. And then between the two of us now, we run the whole shebang, the whole agency. We have our own podcast, work with over 100 podcasters. So we're fully engrossed in it now.
That's amazing. So you run a podcast for podcasters and at the same time offer a service to help podcasters grow their podcasts. I said podcast.
Yeah, and our show is called The Podcasters Podcast as well. So it's all sorts of podcasting. But yeah, that's right. We've got high ticket, low ticket, kind of everything, but all based around helping podcasters grow, well, launch, grow and monetize podcasts.
Yeah, right. It's a perfect business model, isn't it? It just self-fulfilling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's our kind of USP because we were originally like the first agency here in the UK, but now there's quite a few. But we focus very much on entrepreneurs and business owners, and realistically, they don't have much time. So for like yourself, you're an entrepreneur, right, Des? So a lot of people, especially if they're in a day job as well, will be like, I want to do a podcast. I want to grow my brand. I want to get all this great stuff out of it, but I haven't got time to give 10 hours a week to editing or whatever it is you've got to do, like artwork and show notes and all these bits. So we essentially are pay us, we'll do all the hard work for you and then tell you what you need to do so you can just click record, send it to us. That's the premise of our agency, but that's like the high ticket stuff we do. And then we also help people grow their podcasts through training. We have training courses we run and that sort of stuff as well to help people that aren't at the point where they can blow loads of money on getting it done for them.
Yeah, right. It's fascinating, isn't it? It really is. I never knew this was a world. Truly, never knew this was a world. I started, what are we on now? This is like episode 45. We're coming up to a year. And all I knew is that I already had the community, if you know what I mean. So I already had an audience ready to go. And if you're all listening, thank you. But I knew that I had the audience. I knew that I had the category that I wanted to talk about. And I knew I wanted to branch out into wider e-commerce. But Amazon selling was always going to be the starter because that's where I could bring guests in and stuff.
I did it, mate, with an iPhone and one of those like little radio mics that I bought on AliExpress for about £4. And slowly, my kit's improving, my backdrop's improving, all of that stuff. And the more I get into it, the more I'm thinking, man, I think I do need help if I want to reach the next stages. Do you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I've done an episode on it before, but it's for different people at different budgets, there's different things you can do, right? In an ideal world, you pay for everything to be done for you. You have all the best equipment, etc. Use a studio, but some people don't have that. So it's at what stage you do things, what stage you outsource. So you could get away with quote-unquote shit equipment back in lockdown times, but now it's such a competitive space. Well, it's not, there's no more podcasts now than there were in lockdown, so there's not more active podcasts, believe it or not. It's about the same. However, the ones that are out there and active are a lot better quality, because if you're a podcast and there's someone else in the same niche and theirs looks, sounds, feels great and yours it doesn't, then it's a waste of time, because you might put all the effort in the world to building a community, marketing the show and getting someone to click on that first episode, who then could listen to 100 episodes and be a customer that pays you £30,000, whatever it is. But if that first episode sounds janky and they never listen again, then you've wasted all that effort to get someone to come to your show. So it's congratulations, by the way, on getting to nearly a year, because believe it or not, 99% of podcasters don't make it past 20 episodes.
That's it. Yeah. That's the key stat that I knew. I knew just keep going. And I needed to make it as easy as I possibly can so I could record it in the car. I could record it. Like, I went to my in-laws and I was struggling for a guest. So I rang up one of the people that sat my mentoring course saying, look, just come on and be the guest. And I did it while my father-in-law was cooking a barbie in the garden. I'm upstairs interviewing this guy. And I just wanted to get the habit in. Because I've actually
consistency. That's the biggest difference between the people that succeed and don't in podcasting, because it's not a get rich quick scheme by any form of the imagination. I mean,
I'm making no money from this.
Yeah, exactly. But it's something with time and persistence can be massive and either make you a lot of money directly or indirectly. So consistency is the biggest element of it. If you can do it consistently for 2 years, you're already in the top like 1% of people.
Yeah, right. And it's a passion, right? It's got to be a passion. I mean, I didn't know I was going to go down this road. But when people say to me, close your eyes, in 5 years, where are you? I'm thinking, well, I'm still selling on Amazon and I've still got the podcast. Those are the only two things I know I'm definitely doing. And when we get the money that we're going to get, we'll have a studio in the garden. I'd like to bring people in and do real-time stuff, all of that. But it does. It blows my mind. But now I've got going and now I'm interviewing people that are doing their own podcasts. There are people that have bought serious kit and they still haven't got going. You know what I mean? And I think you just need to find... I knew it had to be every Thursday, no matter what, there will always be an episode.
That's the biggest thing, is just committing to yourself to doing it. Because we, for context, people pay us thousands of pounds to be like, taught our systems and get trained in how to start a podcast. I could call up people who were on our training courses a year ago and a good portion of them still wouldn't have started. People genuinely put it off. And one of our most successful clients was a woman called Yvonne. Or I say that actually... No, she's not one of our most successful clients, but she's someone who got success very quickly. She's a mother of four children under the age of five, including two twins that are 6 months old. She's a corporate lawyer and she has her own business as well. So she's as busy as you could possibly get. And she essentially had the idea in June of starting a podcast, came and sat our training in July, and then got sponsorship the day after she finished our training, then launched like 2 weeks later. And now 6 months down the line, she's getting booked to speak on stages. She's growing her own business. She's big on LinkedIn and all these places. Whereas people on her training will still be in the same, like, still haven't come up with my name yet. I'll be honest, her name's not very good. And she knows that, like, for the podcast, based on kind of what we teach. But it was a case of, I'll just upload it, get going, and then sort it out at a later date, in the sense of, change her name, because you can. And then if she was to change her name now, and then someone else was to launch now with the perfect name they've been thinking about for 6 or 12 months, then she's got that massive backlog behind her of, although it wasn't perfect, has got her so much further ahead. And now she's going with the right name. Yeah. So it's people that take action. And we interviewed on our show because she's very inspirational and in how she's just a doer. And that's the biggest way of describing it, of the people that we see do well in the space are just doers, because it's daunting. So just being able to go, I'm going to upload it. Like, let's go. We're just going to do it. And committing, like you say, to doing it once a week makes a massive difference.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's amazing, mate. It's amazing. It doesn't matter which niche you talk about. It doesn't matter which even what income stream method you're doing. It's the same patterns, man. It's the same consistency, determination, resilience, action, all of that stuff. I'll never forget. I read it when I was at like university. I read it, there was like a case study of two guys that were doing sort of internet storage. And bear in mind, this was like 2003 when internet storage was brand new, you know, like cloud-based storage. And one guy wrote, he was like a developer and he wrote what he thought was the perfect setup. And then he just wanted to tweak it and tweak it and tweak it and tweak it. Never actually produced it. One guy produced absolute terrible product. A couple of people bought it, reviewed it, said it was terrible. He tweaked it, he tweaked it, he tweaked it, but it was live. That was Dropbox.
Oh, bloody.
And the other guy, and it was terrible. This is it. And he just refined it, refined it, refined it. And now
look, got it out there in the first place.
$1 billion. Yeah, exactly right. And that's the difference. And I'll never forget that. The first couple of episodes, I won't even listen to them now because I know that.
I would not want to listen to any of my episodes that when I first got involved with the podcast. It would be awful.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, is my voice that loud?
Do you know what? Someone said that we interviewed the other day. They're like, if they listen back to the first few episodes, they're so much more high pitched. I don't know if it's like a comfort thing that you maybe got a deeper voice when you're comfortable, but yeah, that you're not the first person to say that.
That's amazing, isn't it? You think, did I start this when I was 15? This is ridiculous. I don't get it. But so I love it. So when you guys started, you already had Progressive Media behind you. So you had a jump start. Yeah,
so essentially, Progressive Media was born from producing Rob's podcast, which is Disruptors. It's a massive podcast in the UK. It gets millions of views, generates millions of pounds every year, right? So he hired a whole team to kind of run it for him. And then realized that they had a lot of time spare, so we started doing it for some of his mates in the entrepreneurship space, which is why we got into that niche. And then it kind of grew to a point where he was like, okay, now I'm going to bring someone in, which was Kane at the time, to grow it and grow it and grow it, where we can, what's worked for him has worked for the other people. He's like, cool, I can teach this, and then also get the guys that are doing my podcast to produce for people. So that's when we then had a training course and then an agency, and then it grew from there. Kane was brought in, myself was brought in. Kane himself now runs all of our training courses. I'm on all of them. We both run the podcast. We both manage every client on the agency. So between the two of us now, we kind of run the ship with it, and it is growing. We've got over 100 weekly clients now. So that's where it came from. But you're right. We did have a head start. And we've got a great testimonial in our first client ever, who is also the co-founder of the business.
Very nice. Very nice. So when you got started, what sort of challenges did you notice as you were going? I suppose, was this pre-COVID?
No. So this was not long after COVID, about a year after COVID, I think.
Okay. So yeah, so podcasts were already busy.
Yeah, but that's where there's almost a bit of a misconception, because podcast listeners every year goes up. The amount of sponsorship money spent on podcasts goes up every year. What hasn't been going up until literally the last quarter is the amount of active podcasts, because so many people gave it a go in COVID and then real life came back around again. And all of a sudden you weren't sat in your house for 12 hours a day doing fuck all. Pardon my French. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, no.
So from that point, it was a case of, okay, loads of people giving up, people not taking it seriously, not doing it properly. So then those people that do start doing it properly and stay consistent with it and treat it like a business are still going. And now, only now, is the supply actually starting to increase with the demand, because demand has been going up. More money's being spent on podcasts, more listeners. But the active amount of active podcasts has not been increasing until literally this last quarter.
Right, right. It's amazing, isn't it, really? The reason I got into this is because I like listening to podcasts, and I thought, right, I'm on my bike, I'm in the gym, I need to listen to something to help me get going on Amazon selling, and there's nothing. Exactly like you said, there was like loads of them that started in lockdown, but then there's only three or four episodes, and that's the end of that, and then Amazon kind of changes at such a pace. None of it's relevant anymore. Yeah, this is it. And I thought, right, let's do that. Especially for my age group, mate. I'm in my 40s. Loads of people love a podcast in my age group. And those are the ones that are getting going, especially the audio.
Yeah, I only listen to podcasts on audio. Video is massive, but we still have a lot of successful shows that are audio only. It's the audio market is really beneficial to those who are targeting, like you say, your age group, but also just have high ticket items or providing a lot of value. Because, well, for context, we interviewed someone the other day who has similar audience on his YouTube and his audio platform size wise, but makes 8 to 10 times more money on his audio platform. But the listeners on his audio. Yeah, absolutely. So it's the audio listeners are the most valuable listeners you can get, because on video, on YouTube, on TikTok, you get shown things like, oh, here's a clip of video, here's a clip of the video. Whereas on audio, you're choosing to listen to it. You're typically listening to a whole episode of something. And a way I like to frame it is, imagine you have 100 listeners every week. If you imagine standing in your local town hall speaking to 100 people every week, and it's the same 100 people every week, who's going to be your best leads when you have something to sell? Who's going to be most likely to buy into something you're doing? It's going to be them all day long.
Yeah. No, it's a really good point. It is targeted, isn't it? The beauty of something audio is that you go everywhere. Sort of video ties you to a screen of some kind, but audio,
yeah, it's passive.
You drive a car. You know,
someone made the point the other day, though, it's passive, but it's not like you're not paying attention, like radio, for example. It's you listen with intent, but you can also do it while doing other things. So podcast listeners are also the most, it's the worst way of putting it, but the most valuable people, most valuable consumer of media, in sense like the average amount they earn, etc. Because the super busy CEOs, the super busy founders of all these companies, millionaires, haven't got time to sit there and watch hour-long YouTube videos. But what they do, they might have, is an hour-long flight or an hour-long drive. And that's really where you see the difference in audience, is that audio podcast audience is probably people that aren't sitting there at home with a video on doing nothing. They're probably busy, but actually, instead of listening to the music or the radio, they'll listen to something like that.
That's amazing. Yeah, I had a business coach on, and we were talking about marketing and pricing strategies and all those things. He writes books that he gives away. And I sort of said to him, why'd you do that? And he said, well, the same reason you do this. People will take a book to bed, and I'm there and they're reading my book in bed. He said, all of a sudden, I'm everywhere. They take me on holiday. He said, podcasts and books, people just take with them and they consume them exactly like you said, with interest, concentration, and like with intent. But at the same point, can use it as escapism too. It's perfect. Yeah, never really thought about it like that. So what sort of metrics would you say are sort of like the most important when it comes to sort of audience engagement?
Money. How much money you make. That's the one we try and prioritize. Downloads can be important. They are important, obviously, but you can monetize a podcast with no listeners. You can monetize it before it launches. You can monetize a podcast with one listener. It's all about who over how many. So when it comes to metrics, downloads can be a great way, or views a great way of seeing what content's working, or if your downloads are generally going up, then it's a good indication that it's a good podcast and you get people return. If it's going down, it's like, oh, maybe the content's not great. But realistically, the one that matters is money, because that's what we focus on for most people, not for everyone, but for most people, it's generating business. And if you've got one listener, but that one listener becomes a client of yours, then you're monetizing that podcast, right? So for us, we don't have a massive audience, but our podcast is to help people get started with podcasting. Our offer is helping people get started with podcasting. So it aligns perfectly. And we always get people that listen to our show, reach out to us and be like, hey, like, what would it look like to work with you guys? So that's a massive lead source for us. Generates us as a business about six figures a year, probably just about. In fact, more than that, when you consider people that were interested, but then listened to the podcast and then become more interested, if you like. So we've not got a big podcast, but it's a podcast that generates a lot of money indirectly. And that's usually the best way to generate money through a podcast.
Yeah.
On downloads and analytics, though, we also try and get people to stay away from looking at them too much when they first launch, because like you say, consistency is key, and you can get yourself down because it's not got an algorithm behind it to push it and make you go viral. It's all about consistency and actually growing the audience steadily. And if every month you're going up a little bit, that's a very, very good sign. And also after, say, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, you can look back at episodes and be like, cool, that one done really well. What did I do there? That one didn't do so well. Okay, what was that? And you can try a few different types of content and see what works, what doesn't. That's how we generally use downloads, is just as a guide to the fact that we're either growing or things aren't right and what's working, what's not, for example.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I don't overly look at my analytics, to be honest with you. I like seeing how many times it's played a week, which episodes seem to do better. I mean, there's no denying it. It comes out on a Thursday, so Thursday is always my best day. If I'm going to start checking chart entries, I'll do it on Thursday after, you know. So what am I in? I peaked in the business category worldwide at number 86. Yeah, mate, that was amazing. That was off the back of a couple of Ask Me Anything episodes. And I peaked at about number 35 in the entrepreneur category, which is
on Apple Podcasts. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So the way that Apple Podcast charts work is based on percentage increase of followers in a 12-hour rolling period. So what that indicates is you've had a lot of new followers in a short amount of time. So if you after an episode goes out, it goes up. It's not so much like your existing listeners listening. It's probably more new people clicking follow after listening to that episode.
Ah, is that right? That's good to know, because I frequently chart, yeah. If you know what I mean. I haven't got into the 30s for a long time, but I was at something like 50-odd last week.
That's good that it's staying up there, because it's really difficult to stay up in the charts. We're out at the moment. We got to number one in the how-to charts under education, but then we thought, that was on launch. We have kind of a whole launch strategy, which is aimed at getting into the charts, because like, if you're a number one show, you can always say you're a number one show. It's like being an Amazon bestseller, right? Okay. You only need to get there once, as long as you've got that screenshot. Same concept. And we've got a way of not hacking the charts, but actually getting in there is a lot easier than you think if you know what you're doing.
Mm.
That said, we've moved to the marketing charts. It was like, how-to is cool, but like, yes, how-to marketing sounds way better. So much more tough charts. But we picked it about number six or number eight in marketing, which is cool, without doing any sort of push. So to be able to say, we're a top 10 marketing show in the UK, instantly puts a lot of credibility on our podcast, which is awesome.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, it's all over my media kit. Jesus, yeah. it's all over it. But no, it's interesting, because I always wonder how the algorithms work. Spotify seems to be a lot harder to break. But
Spotify have their own shows. Yeah, so they'll always put them first. We always take the piss out of Spotify. We always slide them off. But there's no denying they're becoming the main platform for podcasting. So what they've done has worked. Like we interviewed the person who produced Meghan Markle's podcast. So that was quite an insightful one. There was a lot of things we couldn't ask, obviously. There was a lot of red tapes we had to be very careful with. But that was very interesting to see, just kind of the strategy that Spotify employed. But unfortunately with Spotify, it's almost like they're trying to take over podcasting, because the great thing about podcasting is no one owns it apart from you. So it goes right on every platform. You can say whatever you want. All of a sudden, Spotify's hosting website are like, we're not going to show you analytics from any platform other than Spotify. Spotify buying shows and making them only available on Spotify. Almost like they're trying to corner the market, which is a shame, because the great thing about podcasting is that it's decentralized. It's available for everyone. It's only you own it. It's not like Apple owns it or YouTube owns it. YouTube owns their content, TikTok owns their content, podcasting, you own it and it's everywhere. But Spotify are almost trying to change that a little bit, which is a shame. But because of that, their charts are very focused on their shows. Apple charts are the only ones people care about, if I'm being honest. So I wouldn't worry.
This is good news, Ash. This is good.
There you go, Des. Happy days.
So what's I don't want to ask you how I would monetize mine. That's not fair. But what?
Here we go. Little consultation session mid episode. your podcast is about Amazon selling, right?
Yeah, predominantly. I do branch out into general e-commerce, like print on demand and stuff like that. Just the old fashioned side hustles, okay. But yeah, mostly.
Do you offer any sort of coaching, training, courses, anything in that space?
I do. I do a basic beginner's mentoring package, like £300 for comprehensive fundamentals on Amazon.
Do you ever refer to it on your podcast?
Not so much, you know. Nothing is the answer.
I mean, no one likes to be sold to, right? So you don't want to be in your podcast doing whole ad reads for you. I mean, it works for some people, don't get me wrong, so maybe it's worth trying, but we find generally doing like whole ad reads for what you have to offer doesn't work. What we do is interview clients, and naturally when you're interviewing a client, they'll be like, when I done this with you, or you helped me do this, and it becomes very obvious that actually they're a client of yours. So if you can interview a client about how successful they are, like that woman I talked about earlier, then it's great for you, because people then listen to that and be like, I want to be their client. Oh, they help them, they can help me. Generally throughout this episode, and I haven't meant to do it, but a couple of times I've referred to like, this is what we do, this is who we work with. So I've not sat here and go, you should all buy my podcasting course, but your listeners at this point will know I have a podcasting course. So just doing more of that for your own stuff, dropping it in conversation. If you get the chance to interview clients, that'd be great. And then what I would look to do as well at some point is like a relaunch celebration episode, which you could use to get up into the top of the charts and give away something related to your course. What you do with that is, if you do it right, you can spike up into the top of the charts, get probably your best chart position, but also then generate loads of leads for your course.
Yeah. No, I love it. It makes perfect sense. I've got it in my head as well. I'd love to do a live show, like with an audience. Do you know what I mean?
No, they are great. We've run a couple for a couple of clients, and they've all gone well. Yeah.
Have you?
Podcasting. I mean, I don't know if you know about them, but Shits and Gigs, two young lads podcasters, they've just sold out the O2. They've just done a podcast show in front of the entire O2. Yeah, they're just like a couple of young, well, I think they're about 30 odd lads. But they're, yeah, a couple of them, they're just chat rubbish, just but like talk about girls, talk about relationships, all this sort of stuff. Very much aimed at my age group. But it's unbelievable the success they've had in a lot through TikTok and clips. But now they, yeah, they sold out the O2 and they've done a live podcast in front of an entire O2 arena.
Good for them. That's incredible.
It's wicked.
Elkin, you can churn out a career just having ank with your mates. That's
yeah,
just
chopping it up with your mate on the sofa and turn around.
Yeah, exactly right. On the O2. Yeah. Right. Girls a little real last night.
Mental.
So when it comes to your show, how do you sort of think, how do you approach your production? Do you script anything? Do you have ideas before you come out? Or is it just a case of just seeing?
So we upload twice a week. We're now nearly 200 episodes in and it's a podcast about podcasting. As you can imagine, there's not much you can talk about that's completely new every time. So we do probably talk about similar topics over and over again, but in different angles and framed differently. However, we will usually rock up to record. Our producer will set up the studio. We'll sit down maybe after lunch or in the morning. And we're recording later today, actually. So we'll sit down. We'll go, you got any ideas? And my co-host Kane will go, nah, not really. You got any ideas? I'll be like, well, someone said this to me the other day. Oh, there's a good idea. Let's go. And then we'll start recording. That's the extent of our planning. Occasionally, we have a group chat where if an idea pops up, like from a conversation like this, I'll get my phone out and write it in the group chat. And then that's a great way to go, oh, yeah, let's look at the group chat and then find one of those ideas. I had one the other day, which I think was like how to launch a bad podcast. And what we're going to do is almost like a piss take episode and just be like, first of all, do this and just make all the suggestions which are opposite to what we do. And be like, if you're doing these things, you're doing it wrong. So that's going to be an episode we'll probably record. But we've also, because of the amount we're putting out, to avoid just going over the same stuff over and over again, we've got a few more interviews booked in. We've done a few more of them, which is cool. About different people in the content space. And the good thing is we're very knowledgeable in what we do with like the niche business podcast, but then we interviewed a sports club podcast the other day. Actually happens to be my favorite podcast, but that's something we don't really know about because it's a different industry, different niche. When we interviewed Meghan Markle's producer as well, like we don't know what it's like working with celebrities because we don't. We work with independent creators. So we're interviewing people who have knowledge in neighboring sectors, if you like. So we provide the knowledge, the education, and what we know, but then we also facilitate other people to give our audience knowledge in slightly neighboring areas where we're not as confident, which is great for us. So like TikTok, LinkedIn, any of these areas where we know a bit, but I wouldn't sit there and charge someone for my advice, if you know what I mean. So if we could get someone on that's a LinkedIn expert, for example, which we have got a couple queued, then that's great. And yeah, that's what we try and aim to do with the show content wise but and then once we finish recording, though, that's it. Like we'll walk off. Producer will take the SD card, he'll edit it, he'll make 7 clips from every episode, which goes out on YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn. He'll do the full length. Actually, we don't bother posting our full length to YouTube, but for some of our clients, he'll do the full length. And then the audio gets edited and uploaded to the podcast with show notes and titles. We don't have to lift a finger afterwards. It's lovely.
Yeah, I bet it is. You just get to do the good stuff.
That's what we try and do for our clients. So we are a client of our own, which is awesome. But of course, client work comes first. Yeah. So sometimes, oh, we haven't got many clips. So, yeah, sorry, we have to do client work. And like, fair enough. Can't really sack them off our own.
No, I love it. I do the similar sort of thing. This exact interview is a perfect example. This isn't necessarily what you'd call my niche, but it's another link. If somebody goes, you know what, I want to follow Dez. I want to do what Dez is doing. This is, I'm the guy that basically says to you, look, I'm just a normal bloke. You could copy me and do all of this. And I kind of want to facilitate all of that. Last week, I had a guy from Ohio contacted me. And if you look at my demographics, about 3% are from the States. And he contacted me and said, my assistant found your show. I want to come on and talk about tech support that I offer for dropshipping. Yeah. I'm like, that is so far removed from what I do, but let's have a chat. And we've got all the same things in common that made us start our businesses. And we've got a personal link here. I could talk to you for hours. So let's get it on the show. And it's a good couple of episodes, but it also gives you food for thought for when you do need another episode that you are struggling for ideas. 100%. I've no doubt, mate, when I listen to this back, there'll be something that I think, you know what, I can run 20 minutes on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's certain shows and certain styles have ways that you can come up with unlimited content. Like a football club show can just do match reviews. So every week you're going to have content. We can do podcast reviews, which we've done a few of, where we've reviewed someone's podcast. We had someone who we reviewed his podcast, and then he messaged us like 2 weeks later, like, oh, by the way, someone invited me onto the show because they heard my podcast review on your episode, and he sent us reviews and everything. Yeah. So people really appreciate it, and we have an endless list of people who are like, yeah, please review our show. It does take effort from us, which is, and us being lazy, we're like, oh, I don't know, sometimes. But if we sit there and listen to a show for half an hour, then we can go do an episode, like, yeah, this was great, this was bad, this was great, this was bad. So that's unlimited content we could do, but it just takes a bit more planning. But then interviews are great as well. With the sort of connections we have, some of the people we've had on before, if we put more effort into finding guests, we could get some brilliant guests. And we've had some really good guests. We have a few big names in entrepreneurship lined up. I don't want to jinx it in case they don't come on. But some big multi-million pound businessmen, and then some big people in content, and some people with millions of views. So like all of that stuff's exciting to us because we've not done as much of it in the past. And it's a different type of content.
It is, mate. It is. What's quite nice about the way that we're doing it is I'm getting experienced, very successful people coming. Yeah. The episode that's gone out today, the guy's run basically £2 million Amazon selling businesses. Like his Amex bill for his stock is like $250,000 a month.
Wow.
Like, Jesus. I'm talking to this guy from my
kid. That's all I'm
saying. This is it. That's what he said. He said, oh, maybe I'm indulgent by going first class. Well, mate, you don't go back to economy.
No, I've heard.
I know that. I used to work on the planes. That's really? How I know that. Not that I've got any experience. But yeah. So I'm sitting there thinking, here I am in my kitchen in Southwick saying, oh, I can't wait to get to a status where I can quit my job and choose my own hours, and I've got these millionaires approaching me. Can I come on your show? Yeah, it freaks you out, doesn't it? But it makes everyone so relatable, and it's from a personal point of view. Yeah, the monetization hasn't kicked in, but the opportunities it gives is just
honestly. When we ask people, be it clients or not, what's the best thing you've got a podcast and you didn't expect? It's almost always either the relationships they've built with guests or the knowledge from interviewing guests, because if you can build a relationship with your guests as well, there's so many business opportunities usually. We've had some other people have. Yeah. But also, for example, this person I'm talking about, I'm hoping to get on our show, their mentoring would probably be thousands of pounds an hour. But we get to sit there and chat to him for about an hour. We might just pretend it's an episode and just ask him loads of questions about the business. But you get the chance to speak with these people that wouldn't just, if you was to say, hey, can I just chat to you for an hour? They'd go, no, piss off. But if you say, can I put a mic in front of you and you talk about yourself for an hour? They'll be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. So it's a great opportunity to get those people that we wouldn't normally get the chance to speak to, and you can learn so much.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, again, we talked about this on the episode that goes out today. He said to me, if you had an issue with your Amazon business and you needed help, you could do me a voice note and I would reply to you with the answer instantly. Anyone else, I charge £600 for a call. Jesus Christ, man. Yeah. Yeah, so all I've got to do now is kind of just take the opportunity, Ash. That's the thing.
And not take the piss, otherwise you'll stop charging you.
Exactly right. Exactly. And there you go. Different to most shows, but I still think it's utterly valuable. I don't want to be an Amazon podcast. That's not the point of this. It's showing everybody what's achievable with simple steps. Ash, his knowledge is unbelievable. He's a guy that's been pumping out a podcast twice a week, by the way, and showing people what can be achieved with podcasts. The numbers that he was talking about there were unbelievable. And I know we didn't give specifics on what certain advertisers pay, but when you can generate that kind of traction, there is money out there to be made. And there is such a huge gap when it comes to podcasting. It doesn't have to be about Amazon. It doesn't have to be about e-commerce. My one's about entrepreneurs and business. There's nothing to stop you doing one about cooking, about gardening, about anything. Because everyone's got that misconception in their head. Oh yeah, there's already a load of podcasts out there. No, there isn't. I think there's 250,000 in the world. And in less than a year, if I can make the top 11 in the entrepreneur category, there are opportunities out there for everybody. There's no two ways about it. I haven't got a fancy podcast studio. I am literally sat here in my kitchen. Look at these headphones. If you're watching this, these are the ones you spend £10 on in Argos. It's not fancy kit. The most important thing is that you've either got hardware or access to software that can make your voice a little bit crisper in the production phase.
That's it. Let's get to the tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
Don't assume the mountain's too high. Don't assume the valley's too low. It didn't stop me. Oh, no. Don't do it. Look. Just look. Because maybe that thing that you think is really difficult is actually surprisingly accessible. Maybe it is. Maybe all you got to do is take out a little subscription here, there, plug that into there. Maybe you've got a friend who does voiceovers. Maybe you've got a friend who doesn't do voiceovers, but has got a really smooth voice and you think they could do the job. Maybe you've got connections with someone where you can throw them some free advertising and then gives your podcast kudos. Here's an example. You go back to episodes 1, 2, and 3. I have got adverts for Arbosource throughout. That's a favor that I gave Callum, and I knew it would give my show kudos. Why not do that? And that's a little lesson you can take forward for any form of brand management. Make it look like you're a big deal, because people will believe it. Anyway, that's two tips. No cheating.
Tip of the week.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed the podcast special. Look, I do recommend going out and checking Ash's podcast. It is full of value. If this is a road you want to go down, I fully recommend you do go down this road. Even if you don't make money. Spoiler, I'm not making much money off this at the moment. But the network it gives you, the connections it gives you, you can call up anybody. You can slide into anyone's DMs. I run a podcast. Fancy coming on and being interviewed? You'll be surprised how many people say yes. You'll be surprised how many people actually then want to join in the conversation afterwards. You'll be surprised what sort of opportunities each relationship can give you if you want to pull on that thread. That's enough of me. I've been banging on about this for ages. Look, you get the deal. Start your own podcast. That's the end of the show. Right, have a lovely week. Look, summer is here, whatever that means, if whatever country you're in. I can tell you now, in the UK, it sucks. Right. I'll see you next week. Take care. Ta-da.
You've been listening to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. Make sure you join us next time for more real talk and some undoubtedly terrible jokes as Des gets ever more closer to saying goodbye poor, hello rich. Just a little reminder that this podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. It cannot and does not constitute any form of financial advice. We know things are tough for a lot of people right now, so if you need assistance organising your money, please seek the help of a qualified financial advisor.